In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Acquire a spirit of peace, and 1,000 souls around you will be saved. Perhaps the most famous line ever spoken by Saint Seraphim of Sarov: acquire a spirit of peace, and 1,000 souls around you will be saved. And the wonder of this teaching of his is that it was not an isolated statement, but the core of what Saint Seraphim believed, what he taught, what he lived. He repeatedly taught myriads of times, both what he said, how he lived, encouraging anyone who would listen: acquire the Holy Spirit. Receive truly and deeply God the Spirit within you. For Seraphim, this remains the singular goal of the Christian life. A fellow named Nikolai Motovilov once visited Father Seraphim. They had a conversation out in the woods during a beautiful snowfall. And before Nikolai could even pose his question, Father Seraphim said to him, "The Lord has revealed to me that since childhood, you've had a great desire to know the aim of the Christian life. And you have asked many spiritual people about it." And Nikolai was amazed because he hadn't said anything to Seraphim yet. And Seraphim had already perceived this. And then Seraphim went on to Nikolai and said, "And all these people have told you things like go to church, pray to God, follow the commandments, do good to the needy, fast, and hold vigils. But they did not speak as they should," Seraphim said. This is what he said: "They did not speak as they should." Then Seraphim said to Nikolai, "Prayer and fasting and vigils and going to church and all other Christian activities, however good and helpful they are not the aim and goal of the Christian life. They are means, they are methods, but not the goal. The true aim of the Christian life is nothing less than the acquisition of the Holy Spirit of God, to become one with God. Acquiring God in the person of the Holy Spirit, acquiring God within you. This is the goal of the Christian life, and therefore this is the goal of your life. A changed and illumined life because the Spirit of God has come to dwell inside of you." Now, we just heard a familiar story of the publican and the Pharisee. We get this story every year at this time. The word publican, that means a tax collector. That's what they were called. A publican is a tax collector. A Pharisee is a religious perfectionist. They tried to follow every detail of the law. Now, we already know how despised tax collectors were for being crooks and traitors. And in this story, the Pharisee goes to the temple to pray, as does this tax collector. And the Pharisee stands in front of everybody and talks about how wonderfully he's done. You know, "I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes." On the other hand, the tax collector stands in the back, bows his head, and simply says with his deepest heart, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, I'd like to focus on a particular line that Jesus says of the tax collector. After he repents in the temple, it says, the tax collector returned to his house justified. Justified means set right with God, one with God. But the phrase, "went back to his house," why is that in there? Why is that line in there? Why doesn't it just say, "and the tax collector was justified"? Why does it say, "he went back to his house justified"? I mean, Jesus put that in there for a reason. And the reason is that the story is not about the good deed of going to the temple. It's not about his prayer. It's not about his posture. But the story is that this tax collector departed from the temple changed. He was a changed man. When he went back home, he was a different person than when he arrived. It stuck with him. Something inside changed and stayed with him. It wasn't just a good feeling he got when he was there, but he acquired something that changed him inwardly, and that change stayed when he returned home. That's why that line is in there. He went to his house justified. And this is what St. Seraphim repeatedly taught as the aim of the Christian life, to be changed, to be illumined, because the Spirit of God has come to dwell within you. Now let's contrast the Pharisee, who both looks down on others and who is filled with self-pride for the good deeds that he does do. Now the Pharisee's goal in life is not to be changed. He doesn't care about being changed or illumined. His life is like he wants to get credits. He wants to earn the right amount of credits, accomplish some kind of religious checklists. You know, I avoid extortion and adultery. Check. I worship in the temple. Check. I fast twice a week. Check. I give 10% of everything I have. Check. And now I can talk about it. And most importantly, I'm not like this tax collector. Check. St. Cyril of Alexandria, in one place, kind of mocks the Pharisee a bit. When the Pharisee brags that he's not like the tax collector, St. Cyril says, "So you're better than an extortioner. You're better than an adulterer. So what? So what? To be better than those who are bad doesn't make you worthy of admiration. Why are you even bragging about that?" But the real tragedy for the Pharisee, as with religious Pharisees the world over, is that all his good deeds and religious disciplines do not lead to a changed life. They didn't lead to a changed life. They didn't lead to a softened heart. They didn't lead to acquiring a spirit of peace. And at best, his good deeds are worthless. And at worst, they're going to bring judgment upon him because he didn't use them to find God. Now, the tax collector, on the other hand, he shows that even in your sins, and this is such good news to us, even in your sins, you can receive God if you have a humble and forgiving and repentant heart. And you can return to your house a changed and illumined person, having at least begun to acquire the Spirit of God. And if the Holy Spirit begins to really and truly dwell in you, and then live in you, and then grow in you, and illumine you, I mean, just think of what can happen when you return to your house. And by house, I don't just mean, you know, the physical building, the house or the apartment, but your life, where you live, where you work, where you play, where you study, where you eat, where you breathe. You know, if the Spirit of peace lives in you, no telling how far that light will shine when you share it with the world. Bishop Randy Dean, a friend of mine, said recently, he said, "Yes, we need our sanctuaries of worship, and we certainly always will. But we also must learn to walk out from our place of worship and really and truly see our neighbor and really and truly love them." You know, that's the changed life, is to depart this house and to depart to our house illumined. That's the same thing St. Cyril says. That's the same thing St. Seraphim says. The aim of the Christian life is the acquisition of the Holy Spirit. It is to return to your house. It is to return to the world a changed and illumined person. It's one of the things I just love about those Sunday school videos that Carrie has been faithfully producing, is how much they emphasize that who we are at home matters. That who we are at home, it's about being a changed life. And those things matter, that what we do in our house, as it were, has a potential to illumine the world when it comes from the Holy Spirit within you. You know, our epistle today that Sarah read for us, it's a personal letter from Paul to his friend and Bishop Timothy. And it was written as Paul was nearing his own death. He was in jail awaiting execution, actually. So 2 Timothy reads as a last letter to a friend. It's a last letter to a friend. And what does Paul emphasize? He says to Timothy, he says, "You have seen my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, and my love. And you've got to continue in these things." Paul wasn't saying, "Look, I wasn't an adulterer." He wasn't saying, "Look, I fasted twice a week." No, Paul wanted Timothy to see how the Holy Spirit lived in him fully and how he had lived a changed and illumined life. And he wanted Timothy to see that his life had purpose, that his life was lived with purpose, with patience, and above all, with love. And that this Spirit, who is God himself, Paul is telling him, can live in you too. That's what Paul emphasizes in this last letter to a friend. And that brings us full circle to the counsel that St. Seraphim gave to Nikolai Motovilov. The aim of the Christian life is not to go to church and pray. It's not to fast and hold vigils. It's not to follow the commandments. It's not to do good to the needy. These are all good, and yes, not just good, but essential. Nobody's saying they're not essential. But they are not the aim of the Christian life. The aim of the Christian life is eternal. Those things are temporal. To you gathered here, to you listening at home, the aim of the Christian life is to acquire the Holy Spirit within you, to acquire God within you. And if you acquire this spirit of peace, 1,000 souls around you will be saved. Amen.